The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. Could we begin by praying for each other for a moment? If you'll pray for me that I say what the Lord wants me to say, and I'll pray for you that you hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let us entrust this to Our Lady's prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the first reading, we hear about the power of the word, living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. The word is not something that's merely outside of us, not just something that lives out for us to look at and observe and walk away from, but the word really penetrates us, enters within us, transforms us from the inside out. In the gospel, Jesus speaks about the parable of the sower and the seed, and he says the seed is the word. And so he gives us that image of the word as seeds which enter our hearts, the soil of our hearts, and something grows there, something develops there, something transforms and changes what is within, and that even emerges and changes also what is without. That's the model of life with Jesus that he gives us, not just an observation, not just an imitation, although that may be the start of how that seed forms and develops within, but really an interpenetration, that he lives within us, the word lives within us, and of course we also live in him. And this is very much the desire of our hearts in communion. Communion with anyone, and certainly communion with Jesus, is not just to watch him from the outside, as fascinating as that might be, but really to live that within, to enter within, to live what he is living, and to allow him really to live in us, to have that kind of intimate union which knows no separation, that kind of interpenetration, that intercommunion, him and us and we in him. And the first reading from the letter to the Hebrews goes on to speak about that. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way. And so we see his commitment to really live what we live. He doesn't just live the nice parts. He doesn't just live the easy parts. He doesn't just smile with us, but he suffers with us. He is attacked with us. He is tempted with us. He is offended with us. He is injured with us. He really lives in us, sympathizes. He feels what we feel. He has the same pathos, the same feeling, the same experience that we have, sympathizing with us. So we see his commitment to live in us, not just apart from us, not just watching, not something merely external. And that gives us some motivation in our reflections on forgiveness. Oh, my application just broke here. Oh, that could be interesting. When we're talking about forgiveness, sometimes we think of forgiveness as kind of a necessary evil. Like, well, you know, insofar as we've been offended and hurt in our lives, then we need to go through this whole forgiveness process, and then eventually we become freed of this thing that hurt us and bound us. As you're reflecting on Neil Lozano's beautiful teaching, I enjoyed so much. You were kind enough to share the conferences with me. I feel like I found my long-lost best friend. What a beautiful person. My goodness. His teaching is so beautiful. But as he's speaking about being unbound, we have this notion, well, I'm bound up by something, and then I go through some process, and then I'm unbound, and then that's done, and then I can get on with, you know, doing what I'm normally doing and living as I ought to be living. But we learn something in this model of interpenetration and communion with Jesus, that we want to live his life. That's what we're doing all the time, whether we're more bound or less bound, rather than bound and unbound. Let's talk about more bound and less bound, maybe. But in any event, as wherever we are in this process of unbinding, what we're doing the whole time is living in him and he living in us. And that's what we're going to keep doing from the moment of our baptism through all of eternity. In baptism, we have begun to live in him in a way that will never end. It never sort of gets behind us. We never forget about it. And it turns our perspective on forgiveness a little bit, because forgiveness doesn't just become this kind of necessary process to unbind us from this evil, but we can get excited about forgiveness because it's a way that we live in him. It's what he does. He is the one who forgives. Well, we have that in every Eucharist, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He never stops doing that. He gives us this Eucharist to celebrate every day, and probably at this point, every moment of every day throughout the world. His blood is being poured out. We are entering, the world is entering into this eternal moment of his self-outpouring for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Those words that he speaks on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." This is part of who he is. He never kind of gets over forgiveness. He doesn't, it's not like once everything is forgiven, whew, finally I can just let that go and move on to something more interesting. It's part of who he is. By his very nature, he is this forgiving love, this self-giving love. And so our opportunity to enter into the forgiveness of Christ is sharing deeply in his life, is sharing in this mystical union with him, is allowing him to continue working out his mysteries in us and living in us. Forgiveness is a beautiful gift, and we can get excited about doing that. I think that's part of the benefit of Neil Lozano's teaching, is he's like, all right, we're talking about renunciation. Let's do it. All right, let's practice. I have some renunciation. We get kind of excited about these processes that normally can be very painful for us and for anyone in the world, but we're sort of excited about this new thing that I have, and that's great. And we should keep being excited about that, because the opportunity to forgive is an opportunity to live in Christ and to let his power live in us. That's what we hear in the letter to the Hebrews. His word penetrates us. It goes deep in us, separating spirit, soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It goes to the deepest places in us. And everything is laid bare before him. And that's so much what we desire, is to be completely exposed before him, because it's really tiring to hold up all of the fake fronts that we hold up all of the time, to cover up our wounds and our ugliness and our weakness and the things that we are ashamed of about ourselves. We want to live emptied of all of that, dropping all of that, no longer carrying all of that around. That's what the Word does. It goes deep in us, and we live in Him. The Catechism has, probably you're already reading this. I didn't get the reading list, by the way. Maybe I did. I won't blame Sister Maria Pia for. But the Catechism has some beautiful texts on forgiveness, and it opens this dimension of forgiveness for us when it quotes from Matthew's Gospel that we have to forgive from the heart. And that means that this is a deeply interior process, not something that we just take on externally for a while, and until we shed it, we just kind of go through this thing, and then we're done with it and we move on. But it's something that goes deep to our heart. The Catechism says, "It is impossible to keep the Lord's command to forgive by imitating the divine model from outside. There has to be a vital comes from vita in Latin, living. There has to be a vital participation, a living participation, coming from the depths of the heart, in the holiness and the mercy and the love of our God. Only the Spirit by whom we live can make ours the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Then the unity of forgiveness becomes possible, and we find ourselves forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us." And so forgiveness is always this matter of living His life and allowing Him to live in us, this intimate intercommunion that we share with Him. The Catechism also points out that what we take up in the Lord's Prayer, to forgive one another that He might forgive us as we forgive one another, that as, He uses other places, be perfect as your Father is perfect, be merciful as your Father is merciful, love one another as I have loved you. God is filling us with divine power and divine life, a share in His own life. We can actually do that by His grace. We can be perfect as the Father is perfect, merciful as the Father is merciful, love one another as He has loved us. We can do that. We sell ourselves short so much of the time because we're so aware of our own weakness and our poverty. But it's precisely in the brokenness that He comes in and allows us to live in Him. Because we have been offended, because we have been injured, because we have been wounded, we can take up His forgiveness and respond with love and mercy. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. The Catechism also speaks about this, again, from the depths of the heart. It says, "It is there, in fact, in the depths of the heart, that everything is bound and loosed. It is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense." That's such an important caveat. I know Neil Lozano also brought that out. And forgiving is not forgetting. We may forget. It may become inconsequential and it may disappear. That's fine. But forgiving is not forgetting. Christ remembered very well what everybody had done to Him on the cross, and still He forgave in the face of that. If God wants to take away the memory or take away the feeling, whatever, He can do what He wants, but it is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. So beautiful. We can turn injury into compassion, transform the hurt into intercession. And that's very much what the Lord has done for us on the cross. He took the suffering of the cross, and at the Last Supper, He turned it into prayer. And we can do the same. We can take all of the suffering that we bear, and we can turn it into prayer. We can take all of the offenses that we've borne, and we can turn it into prayer by offering it. It's what we do in every Mass. We offer it. And that's what we can do throughout the day in our morning offering and our recollection at the end of the day and everything throughout the day. We can offer it. And in offering, we turn injury into compassion. We turn hurt into intercession. We turn it all into prayer. And we give it meaning and we make it valuable and it becomes beautiful. All of the suffering, all of the injury, all of the sin of the world inflicted on Jesus because of His forgiveness, because He turned it into prayer, in some way it becomes beautiful. And the injury borne to the Son of Man, who does not even look like a man, who has no comeliness about Him, becomes beautiful before our eyes. We look on the crucified Lord, and our hearts are moved by the beauty of his beaten, scarred, bleeding face. Something so ugly that we have given to the world in our sin becomes beautiful because of how God responds to it in mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And so the Catechism, actually quoting from a little bit earlier, says, Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived, and he lives it in us. By his incarnation, he, the Son of God, has in a certain way united himself with each man. We are called only to become one with him, for he enables us as the members of his body to share in what he lived for us in his flesh as our model. The Catechism goes on to quote from St. John Eudes, we must continue to accomplish in ourselves the stages of Jesus' life and his mysteries, and often to beg him to perfect and realize them in us and in his whole church. For it is the plan of the Son of God to make us and the whole church partake in his mysteries and to extend them to and continue them in us and in his whole church. This is his plan for fulfilling his mysteries in us. Again, that intercommunion, that compenetration. He lives his mysteries in us. We live his mysteries in him. We are meant to be united with this movement of forgiveness. So again, forgiveness is not this burden that we have to pass through, this stage that because we have been wounded, we've got to work through this process, and then we end up in the full interior freedom that we were meant to have, and then we can forget about this whole forgiveness thing. But it's a constant living in the mystery of Christ's own forgiveness. This is something that he is always living, and so we can always live it in him. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to go and find offenses, or that we have to keep getting offended by people so that we can keep living this out in him. We certainly can discover, and there's probably no end of things in our own lives that we can keep expressing forgiveness for, because in the end, no one is ever living up to our expectations, our hopes, and our ideals. Everyone is failing us all the time, if we want to look at it in that way. There's no end of things that our sisters are falling short of all that we hope for in them, the ideals that we hold up. We can constantly be forgiving the ways that we are disappointed by all of those around us, the closest ones around us, the community and how it's living, the religious life, and also all of those that we minister to. How many people have we given ourselves to and they haven't responded to our love and our prayers don't seem to be met? We probably have an endless list of offenses that God has done against us and not listening to us and behaving the way that we want him to. Of course, he's not responsible for doing evil, but in any event, there are all kinds of things that fortunately we've learned not to be bound up by for the most part. We're not walking around crippled and paralyzed because of all that God hasn't done for us. But all of those things are still these subtle disappointments. Life is dealing us constantly things that hurt our hearts and that we can keep offering. And in that way, we are also living in the life of Jesus. What interaction did he have with a human being that didn't fall short of what he hoped for and the grace that he was giving to the one that he was speaking with? We can constantly live in his life, live in his mysteries. So forgiveness is exciting. See, that's the message here. Forgiveness is exciting because it gives us the chance to live in this grace, to be filled with the power of God and the life of God, to share in these mysteries with Christ, to live in his mysteries. I want to quote one more thing, which is another beautiful expression of this, and then also bring one more point out. The beautiful prayer of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity is always the one that my mind goes to when I think of living in his mysteries and letting his mysteries be alive in me. She says, I feel my weakness, and I ask you to clothe me with yourself, to identify my soul with all the movements of your soul, to overwhelm me, to possess me, to substitute yourself for me, that my life may be but a radiance of your life. And then just a little bit later in the same prayer, she prays to the Holy Spirit, O come consuming fire, Spirit of love, come upon me and create in my soul a kind of incarnation of the Word. that I may be another humanity for him in which he can renew his whole mystery. This is the kind of intimacy that God wants to have with us. And this is something that we experience profoundly in forgiveness. And insofar as we have experienced offenses, and hopefully in the whole process that you're going through in your days of renewal now with the Unbound ministry and prayer, you're discovering more things that you've carried around and ways that you've been bound and have carried weights around, and you're being lifted of those things. And it becomes exciting to discover that in us, to discover little things that we took for granted early in our lives, or even ongoing things that are offending us and hurting us, and we're just carrying them around and presuming that that's our lot in life, and not allowing for something better. But we can get excited to discover that and to let go of that, to work through the forgiveness of Christ. We can also enter into all of the ways that he is offended. Have you forgiven Hitler recently? Have you forgiven Stalin? Have you forgiven Tito in Czechoslovakia? Have you forgiven those who are doing offense to our nation? Have you forgiven those who have been offensive throughout history? We can enter into those movements of forgiveness as well. There's always more forgiveness to offer, that we can really pray Christ's prayer on the cross. We learn to pray that for our own, the offenses against ourselves. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But can we enter into the fullness of his prayer, forgiving everyone that he forgave, having mercy on everyone that he had mercy on, turning the offenses of the whole world, especially as we move into this week where we are remembering the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the 55 million babies that have been aborted, the offenses, the violence at various levels of knowledge and malice that have been done against men and against women, against so many helpless infants. Can we enter into Christ's forgiveness for those men and women who, whatever degree their participation knowingly has been part of that, for those abortionists and politicians, for all of those who have done this? Can we enter into Christ's own forgiveness and allow that mystery of his forgiveness to be worked out in our hearts? There's an endless opportunity to forgive, and it's a beautiful thing. The Catechism says, forgiveness is so important. In fact, forgiveness is a high point of Christian prayer. And listen to this. Only hearts attuned to God's compassion can receive the gift of prayer. When I read that, I thought, it's going to say, can receive the gift of forgiveness. We have to be tuned to God's compassion to receive the gift of forgiveness. And certainly that's true. But only hearts attuned to God's compassion can receive the gift of prayer. We can't pray apart from forgiveness and compassion. And so again, this opportunity to forgive is not merely a part of the process of our own self-betterment and self-actualization. It's not only a matter of our own freedom until we're free and we can leave it behind us, but this is something that is constant in our prayer, to live in the forgiveness of Christ and to allow that mystery of his forgiveness renewed in every Holy Eucharist truly to live in us, that we have hearts that learn to forgive, to be perfect as the Father is perfect, merciful as the Father is merciful, because to be perfect is to be merciful, not to always be on time. To be perfect is to be merciful as the Father is merciful, to live constantly in his forgiveness and to allow his forgiveness to be fully realized in us. Let us allow that forgiveness to enter into us as his precious blood, as we enter into the moment of his self-outpouring, the outpouring of his precious blood in this Holy Eucharist. Let us allow the compassion in our own hearts also to pour out with that blood and to allow his blood to renew within us his mysteries, especially the mystery of forgiveness.